And it's time now for some analysis with our press review with Leo McGuinn. Leo, you are starting with Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer meeting Donald Trump in Washington. How's this been covered by the British press?
Unsurprisingly, makes every single front page in the UK this morning, Alex. And they're all fairly positive, actually. I'll start with the Daily Mail, who call the relationship between Trump and Starmer an unlikely bromance. Over on the front page of The Eye, they call the PM Charmer Starmer and tell us he pulled off a diplomatic win at the White House. They report that Trump expects the US and UK to quickly strike a new economic deal that will perhaps avoid tariffs. The Mirror headline with the pun, Keir's Trump card, referring to the fact that Starmer opened talks by presenting the president with an invitation letter from King Charles offering Trump a state visit. Trump then accepted the invite and that it would be an honour to visit the fantastic country. The Telegraph have a different angle altogether this morning, concentrating on the fact that Trump is backing Starmer on the Chagos Islands deal, which would see the UK hand over its sovereignty to Mauritius. The UK had offered Trump an effective veto on the deal because of its implications on US security, but the US president has indicated that he will back any such deal. Of course, Ukraine was a major part of the agenda. The Guardian headlining with Trump's assertion that US workers extracting critical minerals in the country would act as a security backstop to deter Russia from invading again. Trump also insisted that Vladimir Putin would keep his word on any potential peace deal. They go into more detail inside the paper this morning, asking the question, did Starmer manage to shift Trump on Ukraine? They say that it appears Trump's stance has changed slightly. He said he respected Zelensky after earlier, of course, calling him a dictator. The paper note that while the backstop Trump talked about isn't exactly the kind of security guarantee that Ukraine had envisioned, it's the closest that Trump has come to saying that the US would engage in Ukraine security, as well as providing a deterrent threat against Russia if the ceasefire deal were to be signed.
Charmer Starmer, certainly a more flattering nickname than the British press have given him at other times. Now, on the subject of Ukraine, you found an interview with a boy whose father was murdered. Tell us more about that.
This is the story of Yuri Nechiporenko. He's been interviewed by The Times. He was 14 years old when his father was shot and killed beside him. Now he's traced and sent a message to the killer. A Russian soldier shot Yuri's dad in Bucha in 2022 and actually tried to kill the boy too. It was only the hoodie that he was wearing that saved him. The bullet went through the fabric and narrowly missed his skull. Kyiv has vowed to prosecute Russian war crimes, and Yuri has joined that effort, tracking down his father's murderer. He recognised the soldier through several CCTV images, and when the names of military units sent to Bucha were revealed, he found his name. Yuri's older brother found his contact details online, and they wrote him a simple message on Telegram. Yuri wrote, "I'm alive, you miss. The Russian response was rather chilling. He said, "I'll be back to finish the job." Sticking in Ukraine, the New York Times have this piece reporting that pro-Russian politicians in the country see an opening. Putin supporters have been ramping up social media posts aimed at backing Russia's calls for elections in Ukraine and slamming President Zelensky. They have, of course, been inspired by President Trump's attacks on Ukraine's current leadership and demands for an election. This piece takes Oleksandr Dubinsky, a former member of parliament in Ukraine, as an example. He's currently in prison serving time for treason, but he's still producing videos blaming Ukraine's leaders for the war, saying they're committing genocide against their own, repeating Russian propaganda. Since Trump was re-elected, those videos have gone from 40,000 views to 1.6 million views. This piece ends by saying that these efforts are unlikely to gain much traction. Of course, there's still much hostility towards Russia in Ukraine, but the videos could nonetheless stoke divisions at a time when Ukraine's unity is being threatened.
Very serious topics there. Let's change gears to Anne, shall we, Leo? I believe that for the Eurovision Song Contest, there's a rather interesting mascot. Tell us about that.
Well, Eurovision have unveiled their new mascot called Lumo, which will be the mascot for this year's edition, 2025, held in Basel in Switzerland. It's actually the competition's first ever mascot. I'll give you a little bit of a closer look here. It was designed as part of a competition in which over 1,000 students from Basel School of Design were invited to submit their creative Ideas and Lumo will be walking the streets of Bâle in May in order to greet visitors. It's fair to say the mascot hasn't gone down particularly well in all quarters. This is The Guardian this morning, who call it the love child of Mick Hucknall and Crazy Frog, and ask the question, is it the worst mascot ever? They call the design a sentient heart with a bizarrely sexy mouth. That looks like the result of the ChatGPT prompt, ruin my day. The piece worries about the fact that Luma will be roaming the streets of Bâle because it will risk giving visitors the hellish anxiety dreams of their lives. It's fair to say the reaction online hasn't been overwhelmingly positive either. One user saying that at a time Europe is so divided, it's nice to see that we can all be brought together in hating the Eurovision mascot Luma. And Alex, I've got to say, I think I'll be seeing Luma in my dreams tonight, and not in a good way.
Yeah, I think I can think of a few, or at least half a dozen Olympics mascots that are far worse than that. So, you know, maybe it'll grow on us. Thank you very much for that, Leo.